grace, mercy, and a warrior spirit be given unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It takes courage to be a Christian. Now we're jumping into the story where we left off. Believe it or not, it was Palm Sunday when we last were in Matthew chapter 9. So it's been a few weeks between there and now. But I want to remind you a little bit of what was shared on Palm Sunday, particularly Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And because of this, the crowds were growing. Now, these people who made up the crowds, they were harassed, they were helpless, they were like lost sheep with no shepherd. Instead of hope and trust in the living God, which the covenant was to bring, they were being burdened by the traditions of the elders and always under the weight of the law. Jesus had compassion on them. And in that compassion, he turned to his disciples and said, verse 37, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field." Next thing we know, here we are, Matthew chapter 10, where the Lord indeed does send out workers into his harvest field. And these workers come from the very same group that he spoke to about the need of the workers in his harvest field. The first workers selected are from the group that have been with him for a while, and they have observed what Jesus did. They learned from his ways. They learned from his teachings. And they saw that Jesus demonstrated that he was the Messiah. He is the Son of God. Matthew 10, verse 1, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Now, remember, there are more than 12 following Jesus at this time. But this group, this 12, is set apart. They're set apart for a purpose, to drive out evil spirits, to heal every disease and sickness. In other words, they will be doing exactly as they have seen Jesus doing the past several months and into years, so perhaps. They will be doing exactly what Matthew's chapters 8 and 9 record what Jesus was doing. And that's what we walked through the several months in February, March, and April. If you'd like to hear again some of those teachings, you can listen to several of them. They're on the church's website. I encourage you to hear again God's word. These 12, they're called together for a purpose. But before they can fulfill that purpose, they are given authority. Authority. The Greek word is exousia, which means power. Explosive power. It means power, but it's the kind of power that is infused with the right to wield that power. So the disciples, they're going to be given the power and the right to use that power by the Son of God. Now, I don't know if you've noticed it. Verse 1, the 12 are called disciples in chapter 10. Verse 2, the 12 are called apostles. Did you hear that change as I was reading Matthew chapter 10 this morning? Verse 1, chapter 10, disciples, the 12 are disciples. Verse 2 of chapter 10, the 12 are called apostles. There is a shift in this title because there's a shift in what they are doing. As disciples, they are learners. They're pupils. as apostles. They are sent forth with orders. Apostle literally means he who is sent. So the 12 are being sent. They're called apostles because they're sent. The 12 are moving from being learners to being doers. They are sent. And they're sent with power, that is the authority to do as Jesus instructs them to do. Drive out evil spirits, to heal every disease and sickness. And Jesus gave them very specific instructions for the 12 to follow. Go first to the lost sheep of Israel. Go first to the children of the covenant. Go first to them. Verse 7, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Then the instruction to heal and cast out evil spirits comes. And they're to do this freely. Jesus is sending them out. And he's sending them out in such a fashion that they will have to learn to trust the power and trust the presence of God to care for them. They're not to take coin or purse or extra cloak. They have to trust God. As they go and preach, everything else will fall into place. Trust the Lord to do all of this. But we need to back up and pay particular attention to the order of the instructions. Many want to jump ahead to those miraculous healings and the casting out of evil spirits, to jump ahead without attention first to the word preached. People want healing, but they don't necessarily want the word of God. Jesus sets forth an order of action for the 12 he is sending out. What comes first is go. First, you have to go. Specifically here to the lost sheep of Israel. But eventually, they will go to the ends of the earth. He's sending them out. Go. You need to go. Just like Matthew 28 with the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. The first thing we need to do is go. Jesus is sending each one of us. Then you are to preach the kingdom of heaven is near. The preaching of the kingdom of heaven is near is extremely important. Preaching needs to come before anything else. The word of God must come first, after going. Jesus, Son of God, he began his ministry with preaching. Before any miracle of healing, before any miracle of setting free from evil spirits, before any sign to show that he was indeed whom he claimed to be, Jesus preached. After his baptism in the River Jordan by John, and after his temptation in the desert, turning away the temptations from the evil one by the power of the scripture, Jesus began his ministry. He began by preaching. He proclaimed, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Change your mind. Amend for your past sins." That is what repent means. Change your mind. Make amends for your sins and live a new way. Jesus began his preaching with a call to change your life. Change the focus of your life and turn your eyes to the kingdom of heaven. Matthew uses the phrase kingdom of heaven numerous times. And this is intentionally to delineate between the things of heaven and the things of earth. Life lived according to earth is one way. life lived according to the kingdom of heaven is vastly different. Before the healings, before any of that stuff, first must come the preaching of a whole different life to be lived. Kingdom life, where debts are forgiven, where the smallest seed becomes the largest bush, where everything is sold to buy a field with that treasure hidden in it, or everything sold to buy that pearl of great price. The kingdom stuff is to permeate and influence all of your life, just like yeast permeates the bread. We can turn to the Gospels of Luke and the Gospel of Mark to get a more full picture of this preaching he sent them out to. Luke chapter 9, verse 6. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. So Luke has it preaching the gospel. Mark chapter 6, verse 12. They went out and preached that people should repent. So you put Matthew, Mark, and Luke together, and you have them going out to preach the kingdom of heaven is near, to preach the gospel, and to preach repentance. All three fit together. Because calling people to repentance is a part of the good news. Because you can leave that past life behind and be completely forgiven because of Jesus. We too often forget that gospel of Jesus Christ, that good news of Jesus Christ, contains that call to repentance. But they go hand in hand. Come to new life in Jesus means to leave that old life behind, to live the things of the kingdom of heaven and leave the kingdom of earth things behind. In the East, in Africa and Asia, the church is growing. And there you will find numerous testimonies of healing and of casting out of evil spirits and even raising the dead. The reason is that there the preaching is done in such a way of an expectation of changed lives. They preach very specifically with a call to leave the false religions that are so prevalent in the area and turn to the only true faith in Jesus Christ. A clear call to what is the way, the truth, and the life. And accompanying such unambiguous preaching is the wonders of healing, and many upon many coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we in the West, we are not as clear about the one true faith. Cultural forces are pushing back in the name of tolerance, and they are muting and scaring the church from a clear clarion call to repent, to leave the kingdom of earth behind and turn to the kingdom of heaven. Stand up for traditional biblical values and you will be suspended from Duck Dynasty. Phil Robinson preached again on Easter Sunday what he said before. We'll see what Duck Dynasty does, A&E does this summer. Or, uphold marriage to between one man and one woman, and you would be fired from Mozilla. Or, live and express Christian faith, and HGTV will cancel your show even before it begins, as two Christian brothers experienced. express that Christianity, along with Judaism, as the only true faith in the one true God who is there, and that there are no other gods, and see what happens. Express that all other religions are false and worship false gods. See what happens. Yet that is exactly what preaching the kingdom of heaven is near means. To separate the things of earth and the things of heaven. And in that delineation and demarcation, faith can be born as the word works its way into the soul of another. The word works its way into that space, in that soul that only God can fill, bringing satisfaction, and even more important, bringing salvation. I encourage you today, read the rest of Matthew chapter 10, and you will see that Jesus warns about what will happen. Some will listen, some will not. You'll be arrested, you'll be flogged, you'll be betrayed, you will be hated, you'll be persecuted. Yet do not be afraid. Instead, be all the bolder in proclaiming, for in it you will find life. Romans chapter 10, verses 14, 15, and a portion of 17. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God, the word of Christ. Let the word of God do its work. But if we never speak the word of God, how can that word do its work? What good is it for a person to have a body healed, yet be without a redeemed soul? What good is that healing without a soul redeemed? Is not the redeemed soul of greater importance? First, we must speak the word of God, speak the truth of God to redeem the souls of the lost. After seeking their redemption, we can then turn our attention to the healing, raising the dead, clean the unclean, drive out the demons. These latter things will happen. They will come in the due course. But first we must preach and be articulate about the things of faith to seek the redemption of souls. To seek the redemption of souls. And then as the Lord wills it, according to that individual person's need, he will heal as he redeems. It may be a physical healing. It may be an emotional healing. It may be a miraculous healing. But it will be in such a fashion to bring faith and to redeem the soul. Healing and the authority to heal still resides within the disciples of Jesus Christ. You and I, we are the sent ones. As he said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples. That means we are apostles. We are sent. We are sent to proclaim the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to seek the redemption of lost souls, to preach the kingdom of heaven is near. And as we do that, with the fullness of his power and presence in us, all those signs and wonders, they will be there too. Because in Jesus Christ, there is real healing. Real substantive healing. Broken hearts made whole. Sins forgiven. Broken relationships restored. Mercy, compassion freely offered. In Jesus Christ, all those things happen. And you know that prayer changes things. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. And then realize that you are praying for your own sending. And then you go and share this Jesus. And this Jesus will redeem a lost soul and bring healing and bring life in his name. Go and proclaim the kingdom of heaven is near. Amen.